people destroy, God preserves, O man. Be mindful of God's great grace. How merciful he is to sinners, to those who commit great and small sins. Be merciful too, do not punish in anger, condemn no one. God shows you grace daily. Be merciful too. Grace springs from love. Whoever loves must show grace, hence God's patience. You receive all your spiritual gifts from grace, and you want to use them for evil? Do you want to misuse God's gifts? Don't. Use God's grace for His glory, for the salvation of your soul. Receive freely, give freely the gifts you have from God, love for love, grace for grace. God and God's. Doesn't it seem incomprehensible to you that belief in God on earth, compared to the how long ago the millennia have passed? Look at the endless past of the earth. You see the Egyptians with their Osiris, Iris, and other gods, without the concept of the one, true God. Then Zoroaster, the fire and sun worshippers, the Indians with their three deities, Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu, they too lack the true concept of God, they all have idols alongside their triune deity. Then the Greeks with their Zeus, Apollo, Bacchus, Aphrodite, and so on, all forms of spiritualization for the senses, but no single God. Now the peoples of the north with Woden, Baldur, and Freya, the Celts with the Druids. Let them all pass over you, and you will find gods everywhere, but nowhere God, the great, sole creator, the father of mankind. Only the Hebrews believed in the one God, and from this humble, oppressed people, who by no means possessed the civilization and power of other nations, belief in God propagated, from them came Christ and Christianity. Behold, the history of the various religions is the history of the earth's development. Every planet is subject to spiritual laws of formation. Consider the planet as you would a human being. There is childhood, boyhood, adolescence, and maturity. Spirits preside over the spiritual formation and development of the earth. Spirits govern it in all its phases. Indeed, each individual people is guided and led by different groups of spirits. Thus, Woden's spirits rule the Alemanni Druids in their mystical runic script ruled the Celts, and sensually poetic spirits ruled the Greeks and the Romans. The more intellectually advanced Egyptians, Indians, and Persians were ruled by more philosophical spirits. They already sensed the great deity. The divine seed was planted in a people, precisely in the most insignificant, because God loves the small more than the great, and because faith thrives better in persecution, hardship, and misery than in a life of plenty. Those who rave about gods of the past are taking a step backward. Those who do not recognize the formative, moral, spiritual, and civilizing power of Christianity and faith in God are fools. Those who place Buddhism above Christianity are also taking a step backward. O man, delve into the primeval times of the past, see how God guided and led the earth. Where are all the treasures and temples of the gods? Where is the power of all those who once considered themselves invincible rulers? Alas, they believed themselves to be great and powerful, and never dreamed that they would vanish like the foam of the sea. Palaces, jewels, purple and gold, human creations and gods have passed away, and God towers above all this. God, the creator and ruler, He, the sole primordial being and the loving father of humankind. Now you stand here, O human being, God and you, and no gods. See how you accomplish your work on earth as a self-responsible, free being, as a child to the Father. Love of God. Love God above all things, with all your soul, with all your strength. Do you do this? Whom do you love most? Yourselves, the gifts of the earth, life here below, but God least. To the sensualist, it seems difficult to love the one whom they neither see nor hear, in whom they are told to believe, and when he closes his sense eye, he stands there, excluded from the world of the senses, invisible to it, no longer a human being, but a spirit, who feels quite uneasy in the realm of the formerly invisible. Then God comes to mind, so there is a God after all? Who transformed me? Death is not death, I live, so there must be a God who awakened me. Look, he must then pray and begin to love God, to thank him. Therefore, dear friends, begin with the love of God already on earth, so that the realm of the Spirit may become your home. To love God means to live for him. He should be first in your heart, from which all other love flows. To love God means not to fear death, to gladly leave everything, to lose everything for his sake. To love God means to do right, to follow Christ. He loved the Father, as he loved the Father, so you must love him. To love God means to obey his commandments and to be mindful of his omnipresence. Behold, such love is a powerful lever for spiritual progress, for breaking free from all sin. Worries about human matters make you weary and listless, but love for God gives strength and courage. A person who carries it within never wavers. Therefore, O friends, love God above all else. Trust in God. How sweet it is to trust in God, to trust in him. Build only. I build on God's love for me, his poor, lost child. I build on Christ's word, which does not put faith to shame. I know, O God, that I am a sinful spirit who must repent and amend. I trust in your mercy and help, for I have the firm will to amend. To every person come temptations, hours of mistrust, of weariness of life. I will overcome them, keeping the eternal goal before my eyes, trusting in God. Oh, how weak is the person who cannot strike! And how good it is to trust completely. Do not worry, God does not forsake the believer. Be calm, anxious human heart, trust in the Father of the worlds. He who directs all things will also bring your cause to the best. See, all things follow God's law, and you, weak creature, would resist following it? Pray, and wait for time in trust. God is there, wait for him, he will not forget you. 109 pages 113 to 129 are missing and are not available in the online PDF version. https://esotericism.info/wp/content/uploads/2025/08/skavvpdf2.pdf+a fool is he who snatches up the goods of this earth. But few want to admit it, for avarice lies in small and great, in many, many human hearts. Avarice is different from greed. Greed saves, gives nothing away, withdraws. Avarice wants not only money, but everything, for itself. It does not save, it spends again, but the thirst for new possessions cannot be quenched. The greedy person likes to stand in the glory. They want to be honored, to be served, flattered. If you notice avarice in children, work strictly against it, force them to renounce, to give. The avaricious person does not want to renounce, and they deny themselves nothing. Love and kindness draw away from where avarice dwells. In the spirit realm, deprived of all possessions, the spirits of the avaricious lament, and how difficult it is for them to die. Eradicate avarice, even in the smallest thing. Force yourselves to give up things you love, to accustom your hearts to letting go and relinquishing earthly possessions. Strife. All evil is against itself, hence strife. If everyone were good, there would be no strife. Evil argues against evil and argues with itself. Discord separates love and friendship, destroys family life. It begins with gossip, slander, and intolerance. These are the vermin that destroy the sociable, friendly life of people. Whoever wants to be free from strife should hold their tongue, should tell themselves daily, silence is golden. Listen to no toasting, stay away from gossips, close your ears to slander. Whoever doesn't want to get into a fight should believe only what they see of their neighbor, keep it to themselves, and not pass it on. Discretion is a good quality. If humanity were to fall silent all at once, there would be less strife. The tongue is the instrument of sowing, therefore, be mindful, speak no evil, and beware of the one who dwells within you and around you. Hardness. Some people mistake hardness for strength of character, but that's not the case. Hardness is stubbornness, obstinacy, not strength of character. Some even pride themselves on being hard and stubbornly clinging to their opinions. Hardness also contains arrogance and pride, and it is the root of many other flaws. Fanatics, religious zealots, and hypocrites are hard. There are people who go to church every day and pray on their knees, yet have hearts of stone. Some become hard, as they say, through people, through sad experiences, through deceptions. Why does it make you hard when others wrong you? Compassion should enter your heart, forgiveness, not hardness. We have no excuse for hardness. It is self-inflicted misery, an injustice that one inflicts upon oneself. An injustice against one's fellow human beings who suffer because of it. It is admired when a hard person expresses an emotion. It is only right and proper to weep with the mourners, to rejoice. This was at the end of page 112. https://wp-content/uploads/2025/08/skavvpdfeon2.pdf. This was the beginning of page 129. The nature of your incorporation springs from a higher will. Everything has its reason, which, as long as you are on earth. The nature of your earthly life is unclear, but will become clear later. Parental and filial duty should be fulfilled conscientiously and faithfully. No one should say, "If only I had been born under different circumstances." Just as you were born, it is good for you. You accepted all the conditions of your birth before your incorporation into the earth. To despise one's parents, to be ashamed of them, to offend them, are sins awaiting severe punishment. Children belong to their parents not only here, but also in the spirit world, for they are bound by things that united them even before birth. Together they have a task or an atonement to fulfill, which has a prior cause. Therefore mutual duties must be conscientiously fulfilled. Complaining. Useless complaints only increase suffering, do not make us happy, and make others unhappy and impatient. Be strong and bear your pain silently and without complaint. If you give no heed to the urge to complain, it will fall silent, and you will recover much more quickly. Many complain and love to be pitied. In doing so, they become a burden to others. They are listened to only for a while. True pain is silent, closed off, it does not complain. Endure your fate, wait, everything will eventually turn out for the better. The whole world is full of complaints. Everything cries out and calls to God. Do you not admire the patience of the Almighty Father, who hears you and so often answers you? Instead of complaining, say, "God, thy will be done." In this you will find strength and relief. Hear the complaint of your neighbor with patience and love, offer comfort as you would like to be comforted. The gratitude of the unfortunate brings blessings, therefore, comfort them. Let the sufferings of others be sacred to you. Clarity. There are people who never attain true clarity in their lives, whose innermost thoughts remain forever confused, who waver like a reed. Today they believe, tomorrow they doubt, they never stick to one opinion, thus they scatter their best intellectual powers. It is different with those who are conscious of their faith, who live their lives according to principles. These have clarity in thought and action. They see their path in life clearly before them and walk it unwaveringly, without anxious doubts. Clarity brings blessing and peace. You can attain it through reflection. Examine things, examine your faith, then prayer will bring you clarity, laughter, and comfort. Strive for clarity, and the angel of God will enter your heart and make your soul strong and joyful. Pray, God will give you clarity. Wisdom. Be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. True wisdom is connected with piety, springing from a clear mind and a good heart. It is the wisdom of virtue and a just, honest spirit. Deny yourself, do not judge others hastily, speak what is necessary and when it is needed, think before you act, and you are wise. Such wisdom draws you closer to God, it earns you the love and respect of your fellow human beings. Direct your striving toward such wisdom. Plus, body. The body is a temporary, that is, unsustainable, vessel of the Spirit and is cast off at death, it decays. But the Spirit lives. Paul says, a corruptible body is cast off, an incorruptible one is put on. The body is for the Spirit a means of atonement and repentance, of progress. Through embodiment and encasing in human organs, the Spirit, so to speak, loses some of its spiritual power, its essence, its qualities, and its abilities become human. You no longer float, you walk, your sight, hearing, and sensation are limited, you have assumed human living conditions from the state of the Spirit. What was possible for the Spirit is impossible for man. Therefore, advanced spirits regard incarnation as a punishment. But for material spirits, it is glorious and pleasant. For them, the spiritual state is punishment. Incarnation should thus be a school for the Spirit, but not make it material or sensual. It should improve through incarnation. It should spiritualize itself in the midst of the flesh, becoming good and noble as a human being despite the obstacles and temptations of the senses. May the immortal Spirit shine through the body in all things. What an error it is to diminish the Spirit, the immortal principle that gives reason and understanding. People are born on earth very differently, the gifts of spirit and body are distributed differently, yet everything has its basis in the Spirit's prior life. There are penances, punishments, and lessons. One comes with much experience, another to learn, another to teach as an example, and yet another as punishment. God is all just. The diversity, the estates, the gifts of mind and body, the talents, etc., all have their prenatal basis. Everything is justly and wisely divided, and all these things become clear to the spiritual, while the materialist rants and raves about the injustice of fate. My beloved, incarnate brothers and sisters, use your incarnation for progress and improvement, so that after death you will no longer need human birth for your perfection. Sickness is an alarm clock for the improvement and spiritualization of humankind. Many have learned to pray and believe through it. Divine comfort descended upon the bed of pain. They learned to thank God, and many have thus become better people. Therefore, do not grumble when God tests you through sickness. Your spirit will benefit from it, and after death you will truly understand that God meant well for you, and you will praise and glorify Him. Illnesses prepare us for death, for our eternal home. They are also a means of atonement. Many have been kept from a life of misery by illness. Therefore, be patient and resigned in such times of affliction, and suffer with composure until God's call resumes. You will then experience bliss and joy for all the pain of this earth. Offense. And if your friend offends you, forgive them, and understand, they themselves are not well, otherwise they would not hurt you. Remind yourself of this whenever you are offended. If an Aryan hurts you, then pity the offender more than yourself. You have not heard, they have done wrong. How can one not pity someone who can offend others? Their conscience must reproach them sooner or later, and every evil deed is followed by punishment. It is far better to suffer oneself than to be guilty of the suffering of others. So don't offend anyone, and forgive if you are offended. Don't become bitter when evil is met with evil. Cross-bearing. The cross has become proverbial on earth. Christ carried his cross on Golgotha, so now people say, when they have sorrow or suffering, one must bear one's cross, as Jesus did. Doesn't it move you to tears when you consider how the Savior bore his crown? And you wanted to complain? Everyone on earth has their cross. There are some who don't want to bear it, who cast it off, but it's no use. They have to pick it up again and drag it on. Bear it willingly. May the cross be for you the sign of redemption, of resurrection, of reconciliation. Look with gratitude, faith, and love to this symbol of victory over death and sin. Continue to struggle through life with it and don't let it be stolen from you. Cling to it with love and say, my Savior, with you I will suffer, fight, and conquer. Moods. Moods embitter life, make one unhappy, and those who are subject to them. He is deeply to be pitied, as he can also make life miserable for others. Moods must be fought, suppressed. Whoever lets their whims run wild does a great injustice. First, one allows oneself small whims, which begin with impatience, then anger and discontent are added. Moods are the seed of great errors. We advise everyone to fight against them with the fullest willpower. Through whims, you become unlovable and a burden to your fellow human beings. For every tear that another person sheds because of your whims, for every suffering, every sigh, you are responsible. Moods are self-inflicted suffering, they spring from a weak character that cannot control itself. 136. Life. Life. What a weighty word. And how differently it is expressed on people's faces. In some, in deep furrows of pain, in others, a gentle smile. Some have eyes shining with joy, others, tearful. To truly understand life is an art. Only he is wise who does not consider this life as permanent and the only one existing. Life here below is a journey, a sojourn on earth on the way to eternity. Think more about the eternal, spiritual life than about earthly, material life, then you will live rightly. Weariness of life. They say people love life, it is wonderful to live on earth. And yet, how much weariness of life there is. How many suicides out of sorrow. Almost everyone has had moments of weariness of life. Weariness of life is a lack of trust and surrender to God, a faint-heartedness of weak souls. How quickly some become weary of life, unable to endure slightest trial, blaming God for their pain and adversity. Is it not perhaps your own fault? A good Christian, and especially a spirit, must never become weary of life, he must persevere in faith and patience. The spirit knows that he chooses to give his life willingly, with all its consequences. Having overcome the trials, now he must conquer, not succumb. If only I could die. Many lament. Yes, do you believe that? Do you think that death will deliver you from all suffering, all work, every trial? Do you believe that after death you will only rejoice? You are mistaken. Death only transforms the shell of your spirit, but it does not make you holy, and consequently, it does not free you from suffering. Therefore, do not say, Lord, let me die. But rather, Lord, give me new strength to be your faithful servant and to fulfill my life's purpose. Do not be weary of life, do not shy away from pain, overcome it. Then bliss and peace await you in the realm of the spirit. Recklessness. The reckless person is a criminal, they destroy a better life, break hearts, and undermine existences. Men and lovers are seduced by recklessness. It undermines every better feeling. First, in a daze, they enjoy the world without measure or purpose, they need permissible, then impermissible means, and whoever does not stop in time becomes a criminal. Many a blossoming, cheerful girl ends up as a child murderer, many by suicide, others on the scaffold. O man, beware of the frivolity that at first seems so rosy and innocent and gradually leads you into the abyss of vice, into guilt and crime. Life is not a game. It is terribly serious. It is an important step toward eternity. Oh, never lose sight of this. Pray to God at the threshold of the abyss. There is always an angel there who can still lead you back to him. Passion. There are great and small passions. First, fight the small ones, so that you may more easily master the great ones. One of the most terrible passions is gambling. The gambler is like a possessed man, he cannot rid himself of his passion. It plunges him and his family into misery. The gambling table is the gambler's magnet. A horrifying, gruesome image. Ah, the gambling dens, the gaming tables are surrounded by dreadful spirits, demons, one might call them, that goad people into gambling in order to corrupt them. Oh, if only the gamblers could see the gruesome company that surrounds them, they would flee in horror. An equally terrible and corrupting passion is drunkenness, opium smoking, and, in your enlightened century, morphine. Indeed, anything can become a passion for a person if they are not master of their emotions. If you have any hobby or favorite pastime, try to abstain from it for a while, just test who is master, you or the passion, whether it serves you or whether you are its slave. Very soon, Passion becomes master over a person without their knowledge. At first, it is a habit, then it grows stronger and becomes an ingrained passion. Passions will pursue you even into the realm of the spirits, and they are dreadful there, where they find no gratification. 140 Therefore, O friends, take our advice. Fight against bad habits and passions, do not be servants of your desires, live abstinently, do not give in to tempestuous emotions, never speak or write in the heat of passion, for bitter regret often follows. Love. God, who pleases us, is not with the senses, but with the spirit alone. 142 Loves suffering. People say, love and suffering cannot be separated, cannot be divided. This applies only to sensual love. Spiritual love is exalted above all suffering in the certainty of its inseparability and immortality. Its eternal duration will raise it above all earthly suffering to heaven. What is of the earth is full of suffering, but what is divine, heavenly, knows no suffering. Love's suffering, therefore, is a human thing, often brought about by sinful passion. Leave the earthly side, keep the heavenly. Sensuality turns love into sin, it distorts the image of heaven and becomes a demon. The sensual desire for possession is the greatest affront to love. True love gives itself, and it gives you the highest prize, the spirit, as your own. The immortal principle, not the material. For many, love is not a sacred thing, they play a wicked, sinful game with it, hence the suffering of love, this poor sinner's flower of the earth. The more spiritual, the purer your love, the more blessed love will make you, the more it will resemble the dual love of two intimately connected spirits. 143 Praise. Self-praise always arises from vanity and is therefore reprehensible. The satisfaction one feels from a good deed and the peace that a clear conscience provides are worth more than all self-praise, for these two qualities are merely the effects of divine grace and mercy, while self-praise ascribes merit only to the individual. When praising others, two kinds must be distinguished, the praise of the pious and God-fearing, and the praise of the wicked and false, the praise of the world. The first kind of praise bestows joy, it is a kind of reward. The second is a temptation that seeks to make you vain. Weak characters are very susceptible to praise. The words of flatterers sway them, and all integrity ceases. The truly devout person will strive only to please God. The praise of men will leave them cold, they will never crave praise, knowing that by acting rightly, they are merely fulfilling their duty. Therefore, do not seek praise. What you do is duty that awaits no reward. 144 Reward. Doing good for reward is not the right way. Selfless, without ulterior motive, is what true good work should be. One should make whole, not half, sacrifices. The reward lies in the good deed, in the joy of the work of mercy, in the satisfaction of having helped others or of having overcome oneself. Seek no reward on earth, it is not to be found here below. The reward is with God, who tests hearts and minds. Lies are like a two-tongued, poisonous snake. Beware of them, for they come from and belong to opposites. Beware of little lies, they are excused by the world, yet one soon becomes entangled in them, and they are the beginning of great lies, which then result in deceit, falsehood, and defamation. Therefore, do not permit yourselves even the slightest untruth. Allow yourselves no embellishments, they all lead to lies. Be true and open. Lies defile the soul with the merry. Sad for him whose heart is of stone, who feels nothing. It is pride and stubbornness that must then be broken and purified in the realm of spirits. Let your hearts soften, O people. Be good and loving, do not silence the voice of your heart. Many a heart has smelled harshness, harsh words are hard to forget. They can be forgiven, but the memory of them remains. Many lives have been destroyed by harshness. Hard people can only be softened by love and patience, for harshness against harshness repels, only causing wounds and offering no healing. But harshness is powerless against kindness and love, there it is helpless, then it must soften. Hate. When the tongue sows discord, hatred enters the heart. Hatred is something abhorrent, an human. One should only hate evil and sin. We maintain that there is no such thing as constant, absolute hatred.